coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It's Tuesday, the 15th day of February, 2022. I want to start out strong, folks. Obviously, what happened yesterday in Canada with respect to the Emergency Powers Act, I'm going to be getting into more into that momentarily and how that's going to impact the United States, what's going to happen here in the United States, and a lot of things, especially if you've got a bank account. If you've got any money whatsoever in a bank, you need to be thinking ahead here, planning ahead. Again, more on that later in this segment. But first, I want to lead off with this. I think this is extremely important. We've got a lot of intelligence outside of this video clip. A lot of intelligence, specifically about the formation or the implementation of a false flag operation. And I really don't like that term, okay? I really don't like that phrase. A false flag, because it suggests, you know, a level of, some level of, I just don't like it. But regardless, look, something happened in Canada on Sunday. This former RCMP officer explains what happened. And I want everyone to pay attention to this, because I do believe this could very well be a setup of the freedom protesters, the freedom convoy, and they're still in Ottawa. Okay, the trucks are still there. There was zero police presence there last night. Of course, the Ottawa police chief resigned. I got mixed feelings about that. But aside from that, I want you to take a listen to this police officer, former RCMP officer, explaining what happened on Sunday and how this could be used against the Freedom Convoy and any Canadian patriots. Watch this. Listen to this.
I'm Danny Volpert. I was a former RCMP sniper supervisor that was regularly tasked with protection of the Prime Minister. Today, on February 14th, we received information from multiple believed reliable sources that firearms may be planted in Ottawa, specifically around the Freedom Convoy, to discredit the protest and to use as a pretext to forcibly remove peaceful protesters. Due to the nature of this information, we felt it prudent to notify the public in the interest of their safety. This private intelligence correlates with the approximately 2,000 firearms stolen in Peterborough, Ontario on Sunday morning, February 13th. Our sources have notified us that these weapons may be planted by nefarious elements, and at this point, we have no further knowledge about who is behind this act of sabotage. As soon as we received this information, we notified the appropriate authorities with whom we are collaborating, including the Ottawa Police Service, the Ontario Provincial Police, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and the Parliamentary Protective Service. We implore any of our demonstrators, if any activity is suspicious, please call 911 immediately. Many of us have left our homes to come here to demonstrate peacefully. We are all pleading with the police. Do not act indiscriminately. We are calling on all scrupulous journalists. Please turn your investigative talents to this matter. We expressly affirm the principle that change can only occur within the democratic process. We have never, nor do we ever intend, to step outside of this democratic process. Public and police safety remains our concern.
All right, that was a former RCMP sniper explaining that guns were stolen, some upwards of 2,000 weapons were stolen, and the word back channels suggests that this was not a regular burglary. Certainly this was not done. There's a lot of strange things about this, okay? And the timing, the location, the types of weapons, what was taken, and I'm not going to get into it because, again, revealing that could reveal some sources we have. But it looks like that these weapons could be used, you know, paraded out. See, this is why we needed the Emergency Powers Act. Now, here is something. This is a short video. This is of Justin Trudeau. And again, you might think this is all Canadian-centric. It's not. This involves really the entirety of the free world because the playbook is theirs. It's the same playbook that every tyrant is using. So Castro Jr., and let's get that hashtag Castro Jr. trending again on Twitter, of course. Single-handedly, Posobiec had been, Jack, how you doing? He got that trending, and of course, got fact-checked, saying, oh, that's not true. That's not true. Despite the fact that, you know, Trudeau's mother admitted to some, hanky-panky? Eric the Techie, he's never at a loss for words. All right, I'm going to show you this. Here's the lesson to be learned from this. When people tell you who they are, take them at their word. Believe them. This is Trudeau 1.0. Here it is.
Even with Sun TV watching for any slip, he was asked which country he most admired and referred to China.
There's a level of admiration I actually have for China. Because they're, you know, basic dictatorship is allowing them to actually turn their economy around on a dime and say, we need to go green as fast as we need to start, you know, investing in solar. I mean, there is a flexibility that I know Stephen Harper must dream about of having a dictatorship that he could do everything he wanted that I find quite interesting.
Yeah. Do I need to say any more than that? Do I need to add anything to that? I don't think so. Okay, so you get the idea there, right? This is a 50-second news clip. Watch this as well. This was yesterday. This is clip two. I've got these all pretty much in order. Right, okay. This was yesterday when Trudeau called the truckers and the countless citizens cheering on the truckers. He called them dangerous and not peaceful. I don't know. Was he intimidated by the bouncy castle? Let me say this as well. This is a guy that caused $10.5 million to be deposited into the bank account of Omar Khadr up in Canada, a terrorist. An international terrorist. And I remember the talk show host has since passed on. God bless him. I remember being on his broadcast several times talking about the case of Omar Khadr and how Trudeau and the Labour Party essentially built this, apologized to the treatment about the treatment of Omar Khadr to the tune of about $10.5 million. And he bought a strip mall, but you know what? He wasn't dangerous. Now the danger is the Freedom Convoy, because freedom is dangerous to tyrants. This was last night when Trudeau called the truckers, countless citizens cheering them on, dangerous and not peaceful. And you know what? I'll just say this. Aside from those people, Antifa-like people who were acting outside of the truckers, there has not been one violent act committed since this freedom convoy began. Watch Trudeau / Castro Jr. lie his backside off.
Measures we're taking today will help get the situation under control. The police will be given more tools to restore order in places where public assemblies can constitute illegal and dangerous activities, such as blockades and occupations, as seen in Ottawa, the Ambassador Bridge, and elsewhere. These tools include strengthening their ability to impose fines or imprisonment. The government will designate, secure, and protect places and infrastructure that are critical to our economy and people's jobs, including border crossings and airports. We cannot and will not allow illegal and dangerous activities to continue.
Castro Jr., Justin Trudeau. Now, the Emergencies Act is made to defend against a genuine threat to the security of a nation. Specifically, in this case, obviously, Canada, their Emergency Powers Act, their nation. The definition of threat, as outlined by CSIS, C-S-I-S, okay, that's the equivalent of our DHS, if you will. It has a very, very, very high bar in order to be classified as a threat to the nation. It's an extremely high bar, including things like espionage, foreign clandestine coups, attempts to overthrow the government by foreign actors, serious violence, no serious violence is even mentioned in this act. But the bar established by the Emergency Powers Act of Canada is it's a very high hurdle. Yet this guy, Castro Jr., just says, okay, we're going to invoke this. This is definitely a coup like we saw here in the United States on November 3rd, that election day. This is a coup within the government by a desperate, flailing politician, despotic tyrant. He's even lower in the polls than Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. That's saying something. And I'm talking about lower in the Canadian polls, in the true Canadian polls. In fact, during this process, his own MPs have broken ranks. This, what we're witnessing here, is a very panicked power grab. But it gets worse. And this is where the emerging of what's taking place here in the United States, or what's taking place in Canada, it will impact and will be the playbook for the United States. Watch what's going on in Canada. It's coming down here. You have to wonder, too. Castro did essentially the same thing once in power. The apple certainly doesn't fall far from the tree, in my view. And again, fact checkers will say, well, that's just BS, but no. You know, Castro Jr. Trudeau, think about his obsession with these vaccine mandates and vaccine passports. Okay, again, vaccine, not the proper word, but think about his obsession, his intent. Especially when you consider the rationale behind the public health aspect of things. What Castro Jr. Trudeau wants is a biomedical security state. Now, that phrase comes from Ezra Levant from Rebel News, but the database created by that, the power to control those individuals and the power to surveil, that's what he wants, the absolute power. I sent you a picture, Eric the Tech, and I'm sorry to interrupt you on this. I sent you a photograph because, again, when people tell you who they are, and what they want to do, you should believe them. Here's a photograph of Castro Jr. / Trudeau, along with Chrystia Freeman, who I'm going to show you in a minute, meeting with, well, you know who. Take a look at this. That's right, George Soros. In which Castro Jr. writes, "Pleased to join Prime Minister Trudeau," or I'm sorry, this is Freeland writing this, "pleased to join Prime Minister Trudeau for a discussion with George Soros about Canada and the global economy." Remember, everything's about globalism with these mopes. Everything is about their planet, their world. We're going to lead it. They're going to lead it. We are going to be subjugated to them, to their whims and wishes and desires. Makes me sick just to look at that. Now, just to be clear, two platforms, GoFundMe, GiveSendGo, combined raised a total. Well, let's take this one at a time. GoFundMe raised $10.5 or $10.8 million for the Freedom Convoy, for the truckers. GoFundMe. So Trudeau, Castro Jr., pressured them to cancel that campaign. They did. They acquiesced as the Muppets that they are. GiveSendGo comes up. Collects another $10 million. And then an Ontario court, and this is why elections and appointments are important here in the United States and any free country. In a very secret meeting, in a very secret hearing, the judge ordered all funds, especially from GiveSendGo, to be frozen. And it's interesting. The timing is extremely interesting because right after that, GiveSendGo, that platform, was hacked. So, before that time, about $1 million was dispersed from the platform. It was dispersed to a Canadian bank for the truckers, specifically for the truckers. But that was seized as well. Not one dime, not one cent has gone to the truckers. Freeland, the finance minister of Canada, who you saw in the meeting with Trudeau and Soros, ordered this along with the prime minister, along with Castro Jr. But let's take a look at what Freeland said. This would be, excuse me, this is a minute 21 from the meeting that Castro Jr. had, or the press release that Castro Jr. had. By the way, it's not going to be visible here, but if you look at the larger screen on this, the woman on the monitor left, I don't know whether she had imbibed too much Adderall. Her behavior while Castro Jr. was speaking was just, you got to find it. I mean, it's not worthy of a clip right now, but watch that woman. I mean, I tell you what, it looked like she was on something. That's just my opinion, based on my observations, but who knows. But now this is Chrystia Freeland about banking and about what she's going to do to your bank account if you're in Canada. And Americans, people here in America, watch this carefully because this will happen to you. Here it is.
As of today, a bank or other financial service provider will be able to immediately freeze or suspend an account without a court order. In doing so, they will be protected against civil liability for actions taken in good faith. Federal government institutions will have a new broad authority to share relevant information with banks and other financial service providers to ensure that we can all work together to put a stop to the funding of these illegal blockades. This is about following the money. This is about stopping the financing of these illegal blockades. We are today serving notice. If your truck is being used in these illegal blockades, your corporate accounts will be frozen. The insurance on your vehicle will be suspended. Send your semi-trailers home. The Canadian economy needs them to be doing legitimate work, not to be illegally making us all poorer.
Yeah, all right. So let me get this straight. $10.5 million to an Islamic terrorist living in Canada, buying a strip mall. That's okay. Killing people, blowing things up. That's okay. But how dare you speak of freedom? We're gonna take your bank account. We are going to take your truck, your ability to make a living. We're gonna just destroy you. But that's okay. So, as an American, if you're an American watching this, or in any other free Western nation, yeah, that's not gonna happen here. We don't have the equivalent of the Emergency Powers Act. You do in various forms, depending on where you're at. I want you to watch this. It will happen to you. It is happening today. And in case you haven't heard, Mike Lindell, he got debanked. Not deplatformed, but debanked. And I want to say this ahead of this clip. Look, this platform, and with my name on it, contributed to the truckers not once but twice. All right? Hey, Canada, come get me. We all have to stand up, and we have to stand against this tyranny. This is true tyranny, but here's what happened to Mike Lindell. This from the War Room, Steve Bannon, and this was just... he received a notice on Friday. Well, I'll let him tell you. Here it is.
Tell us what happened today, sir.
Well, I just got served the papers. They're closing my account at Minnesota Bank and Trust. That's Heartland Financial, Inc. Remember, we brought it up a couple weeks ago, and all of you reached out to those to the bank president stuff at Minnesota Bank and Trust, and I hadn't heard from them. Well, the coward served this paper on Friday afternoon after the business close of business day. They didn't even bother to sign it.
You know, I saw that clip on Twitter, which again, Twitter is a sewer. Gab, Gitter, those are good. Twitter is a sewer. It's run by leftist, megalomaniac, narcissistic morons. But having said that, I was watching the replies to that, watching the comments to that, and I couldn't believe how many people were okay with that. Don't you know that you're next? Or are you okay to be some useful idiot? Are you okay? And this is not to my audience, but to the commenters on Twitter. Are you okay that you're just a moron? And with my apologies to morons. Once they get this power, they will not give it back. Now, they may suspend the Emergency Powers Act. But by the way, since, I think since 2001, 70, let me just get this number right, because this is important as well. Let me just double check here, because I don't want to mislead anyone here. In the U.S., the enactment of the National Emergencies Act in 1976 until December of 2021. There were 77 emergencies declared. How many do you think had ended? Less than half. So when they see an opportunity, they seize upon that opportunity. But it gets even worse than that. So they're going to take your money. They're going to make sure all your bank accounts are frozen. They're going to take away your license. They're going to take away your truck, your ability to make a living. But what about if you're just, I don't know. Let's say you've got a tow business. And again, this is the template, the playbook for what's coming here in the United States. Let's say you got a tow business, for example, and you're on the side. You are on the side of the Freedom Convoy. Well, this act can conscript those tow truck drivers. Watch this. This is clip number 4 for those following along at home in the program description box. Here it is. Oh, what's that? All right. Eric says, hey, man, give me a break. He said, hold on a second. So it's coming. Let me know when you're ready. Yeah, it's clip 4. Or wait a minute. Yeah, it's clip 4. Folks, sorry. I see what I did. The second clip 4. Go figure. Here it is. Oh, almost. See, the bizarre notion that I just the idea. Okay, let's try it.
In regards to Emerson and Coots, one of the issues that we have seen is a challenge in getting tow trucks to actually show up to bring out, to move these large rigs. In Windsor, we relied on generous partnership with the Americans to be able to get tow trucks to move the big trucks.
Think about that.
Now, with these measures that we've put in place, there will be an ability to compel, for just compensation, tow truck owners and operators to actually do the jobs for which they have contracts with various orders of government to keep highways and roads clear. This is an example of a specific tool that is now available to local police of jurisdiction in places all across the country if needed. It will be to them to determine whether or not that is needed.
Merci beaucoup.
So let me get this straight. If you've got a towing business up there in Canada, and again, think about this in the U.S., think about this in any Western country, not only can they commandeer your tow vehicle, but they can also direct you against your conscience, against your will, to work for the government. Of course, at just compensation, whatever they deem that just compensation is. So how do they do that? Is it by the threat of imprisonment, taking away your livelihood license and tow truck? Or is it at the point of a gun? Really, it's all the same, isn't it? But why, you might ask? Out of all this, why? Why, for example, is this happening? Is this about really our health? No. Is this about our well-being? No. None of this is. We know this. Yet people will say, get your shot, get your boosters, get this, get that. Wear a mask, stand 6 feet away. How dare you? You're endangering my life. The mind control is so complete, but they're not following the money. The people who are brainwashed by this are not understanding how deep this goes. As I mentioned before, University of British Columbia provided the technology by way of Arbutus and Acuitas pharmaceuticals to create the lipid nanoparticle development for the Moderna and Pfizer injections by way of BioNTech. This is tantamount to an illegal monopoly and price fixing. This is the old Chicago way. As you will hear, Dr. David Martin, who appeared with Clay Clark, who's been on this program several times now, explain in this short video clip. Watch this.
Listen, the courts are starting to assemble to try to figure out the ways to shut down the trucker protests, both sides of the border. As we know, this entire involvement of Canada has been a very interesting case that nobody seems to want to talk about, and that is that Justin Trudeau, on April of 2020, when he announced that the world was going to only emerge to whatever he thought was new and normal after there was a vaccine, the world did not know that Justin Trudeau was controlling the illegal monopoly on both BioNTech and Moderna's form of injection, meaning that, you heard me right, the thing that's being injected into people across the country and around the world is in fact an economic boon for both Pfizer's and Moderna shots that pay right in the pockets of Trudeau. He is not interested in your public health. He's interested in lining his pockets because regardless of the shot you take, Canada gets the coin. And it is important that we understand Trudeau is running a monopoly. This is Chicago in the 1920s. This is the mob. And we need every American and every Canadian and everybody around the world to stand together and inform themselves on the crimes that Justin Trudeau is pushing under the guise of public health.
Just like Fauci, NIAID, NIH, just like those organizations, that criminal cabal, that conspiracy in America, so too it is in Canada. But what's happening in Canada right now, folks, we're about, anywhere between 3 weeks to 3 to 6 months behind Canada. But it's coming according to the information we have here. All right, Stan Dale coming up. Stan Dale from standale.com. And it's always good if it's Tuesdays, Tuesdays with Stan. Before I get to Stan, I want to talk to you about something that's of extremely, it's really important to me. And I hope it's important to you. You know, I've experienced a lot of loss around me and my family. Of course, you get to be my age, you know, you experience loss. I've seen families really destroyed financially by the loss of someone important. And I've had family members, their immediate family, destroyed. You know, you don't want to be that person to have to go out and beg for money when you lose a person that's close to you, an income provider, which is why policygenius.com, it's all one word, policygenius.com is important. The Policy Genius can easily help you find life, but also home and auto coverage, similar to what you have now, but at a lower price. Look, if you care about it, you really need to insure it. If it provides you with a roof over your head, or if a way to get from point A to point B, you need to insure it. Are your home and take a look when you get off this broadcast. Are your home and auto policies almost up for renewal? Because I've seen accidents where the insurance companies did not pay like the entire amount, or hey, the husband, the wife forgot about paying the insurance, and bam, accident happened, and boy, I'll tell you what, a world of hurt came their way. So take a look at your home and auto policies. Make sure they're not up for renewal. But even if they are, great. If not, despite whoever you might be with, check out Policy Genius. Let Policy Genius look for a lower rate for you by comparing top insurers from Progressive to Allstate. I mean, they run the gamut. Okay, so Policy Genius is your one-stop shop to find and buy the insurance you need. You know, head to policygenius.com and answer a few questions. It's just that easy. They're going to show you price estimates for policies that fit your search and help you understand your options. Now, Policy Genius has saved new customers an average of $350 per year on home insurance, for example. You can't beat that with a stick. I know we are reevaluating our home insurance, and Policy Genius is front and center in our efforts, because Policy Genius, their team works for you, not the insurance companies. Policy Genius does not add extra fees. They don't sell your info to third parties. They have thousands of five-star reviews across Google and Trustpilot. And since 2014, Policy Genius has helped out over 30 million people shop for insurance and placed over $120 billion in coverage. Folks, head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com to get your free home and auto insurance quotes and see how much you could save. Do it today. That's policygenius.com. Stan Dale from standale.com. And you know, I'm going to show you this, folks. I brought this out. This is, for those radio listeners, this is, just to make sure I got the right one, Prudent Places USA, Stan and Holly Dale. This is a DVD put out by Stan and Holly Dale. I'm going to tell you what, the information in here is extremely critical. I apologize for the glare from the lights, but that and all of the other books from Dare to Prepare to Cosmic Conspiracy, the other intellectual products, the videos and DVDs, I'm going to tell you what, you need to go to standale.com, support them, And by the way, also speaking of supporting them, they have a great Patreon. So support Stan and Holly by way of Patreon and become part of their meetings. All right. EMP Shield as well. Now's the time, not when something happens. Listed by the Department of Homeland Security in their February 5th, 2019 EMP Resilience Report, EMP Shield is your answer to protect your property. Get an EMP Shield protection right now. Go to empshield.com and use promo code Hagman for $50 off. And by the way, if you order in bulk, you know, for your car, your generator, your home, your outbuilding, or whatever it might be, folks, you can get even more off. That's empshield.com, promo code Hagman. Stan Dale, Stan, thanks for your patience, and welcome to the day.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir. Back at you.
Yeah. Well, it's Tuesday, and a lot of things have been happening in the news, certainly in the Middle East. Just to comment on your Prudent Places DVD there. After Holly wrote that, put it out on the DVD, we had a number of people, you know, write in and call and say, look, you know, why don't you put it in a printed form instead of, you know, electronic book? And we've explained that there are so many color images in there that it would cost a fortune for people to buy it. I mean, like $200 a copy or something. So that's the reason we did it. Just thought I'd explain that to people that complain about that.
That's one of her best works, as well as Dare to Prepare. I mean, she really is. She's the unsung hero of the Dale clan, or the sung hero. I don't know.
That's true. She chooses to be in the background. No matter what I do to try to drag her in front of the camera, she just won't do it. She's the researcher, she says, but definitely the brains behind the organization here. So,
yeah, indeed. Yeah.
Kudos. Right.
Yes. So take us wherever you want to take us.
Okay. If you look at the show images page today, very top, I have a listing, our link to go to the current DEFCON defense, you know, level warning, you know, from 1 to 5. 5 is the lowest level you can get of that. Things are kind of normal, but a few threats around the planet. And I want to explain to you that this is an average. Eric, click on that site there in the middle, right? Now go up to the top of the page where it says Europe, and click on Europe. I don't know about that, but do it anyway. There you go. Now, remember, from 1 to 5, 1 being the most dire defense situation, Europe and the European Command are at DEFCON 2. You know the average across the planet is DEFCON 3. The hot spot at the moment is in Europe and obviously over Ukraine. Underneath that, or down that page, you'll see February 15th. Our intel channels confirm that the Ukrainian Ministry of Defense website is still down. It is not showing any custom error message at all, just the white default connection timeout message, indicating that the server is completely shut down. And underneath that, this is all today's news. NetBlocks monitoring service confirms the Ukrainian Ministry of Defense website is down, along with Ukraine State Savings Bank, which is impacting the ATM banking service in Ukraine. There are suspected ongoing DDoS attacks on the servers. That's denial of service by the Russians. So, you know, you have to say, well, okay, so the Russians say they're putting their tanks back to their home base and withdrawing a bit here and there, but yet they're doing the thing you would expect them to do, to block communications by the internet, by radio, and everything else in Ukraine. So, I'm sure that our Department of Defense is aware of that too, and that's why they put that DEFCON level to 2. We could be in a shooting war over that situation there.
My word. Well, it's always, and people don't understand the complexities of the Ukrainian-Russian situation. The desire, I mean, how the energy, especially the energy, goes. It's to me, it's all about. It's all about food, energy, and really the wealth of other nations. But I digress. But here, yeah, you're right. So, and Biden, of course, you know, saying, hey, you know, if you're in Ukraine, get out, and good luck with that. Kind of like Afghanistan Redux, but okay.
Yeah. I'm looking still on that, the page we're looking at for the defense situation. Down about a third of the way down the page, there's an article from today, and it says, Russian State Duma, you know, the governing body, reportedly has passed a resolution appealing to Putin to recognize the independence of the DNR and LNR. I'm pretty sure that means Ukraine. But if he did that, then, of course, the threat of war would be over. But his own government is trying to talk him down. So that's rather interesting. Okay. Now, I want to look at the distribution of the Russian troops as of about 48 hours ago. This is the most current map I could find. The New York Times had it. And it's in slide 55. If you click on that, you'll see that there are red circles all over this map outside of Ukraine and on the northeastern border as well. Just look at that. And as I said, you can zoom it up. The size of these circles determine the relative size of the troops at certain various locations. Now, remember, there's about 130,000 Russian troops deployed around Ukraine. But if you look at it, the major part is in the kind of southeast corner there. That's the biggest deployment of troop activity there. And it's misleading when they show a line out there showing where the Russian troops are stationed. And it's a long line. They say 130,000 troops along this line. But this is a more accurate depiction of where they're really deployed. And you can see they're deployed up in Belarus at the top there. A number of forces there so they can get into the river, control the river, control bridges and stuff there, which I expected them to do. And they've moved the tanks back. They've activated their missile batteries and moved them in closer so that their missiles can, attack Ukraine. As one commentator said, and I agree with him, what the heck is Putin spending all this money for if he's not going to get something for his buck? Is it going to be something, get Ukraine and the food basket there and trade? Is it going to be, support from the loyalists there in Russia, USSR? I doubt that from listening to what the Duma said. So is this a diversion that he's putting up to let the Chinese do something in Taiwan while we're all focusing on this, even some of our troop activities? So it's just, don't accept immediately what the press says is happening as the most important thing.
I was curious when the Ukrainian president Zelensky came out and said, let's see here. Again, this is almost like a wag the dog scenario that we're witnessing when Zelensky came up, almost like a pawn in a chess game. As the United States seems to be pushing for war, and you got to ask yourself why. Zelensky came up yesterday or the day before and said very publicly, I might add, the Americans have informed him of the exact date of the Russian attack. I don't know if you saw this or not.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
February 16th, he said, that's going to be the day of the attack on Ukraine by Russia. And this was in all the papers, by the way, and all the media outlets. So I just have to wonder, are we being, who's zooming who and are we being gamed? That's all.
It'll be interesting. Tomorrow in the morning, we'll have a look and see if Ukraine is still intact.
Yeah. Yeah, really. And, okay.
Slides 56 and 57 I put up, they're showing that the Israelis are planning to rescue 200,000 people in a secret mission. They say it's a secret, but, if you look at slide 57, that's where you are, yeah. There's about 15,000 Israelis or Jewish people actually living there in Ukraine at the moment for various reasons. I don't know why, but anyway, they're there. And so this secret operation is being put onto the internet so that everybody can see it. And so if the attack by Russia is going to not happen in Ukraine, then the efforts to remove 15,000 Israeli citizens and 200,000 Ukrainians from Ukraine to safety in Israel and other places is a wasted effort. You know, it's they're already putting people into Israel from there. But when you evacuate, you leave your home and goods behind. And if nothing happens, well, were you clever or not, taking the Israeli offer to get out of the country, get out of Dodge? It's a very hard decision for people in Ukraine that, you know, the Israelis and those in Ukraine that want to get out to make. It's a crapshoot. And so I think tomorrow we may wake up to a solution to the situation, or at least to the question about what's going to happen. As I said at the start of the show today, I can't see why Biden is spending so much money to put his troops and you know, weapons and stuff there surrounding Ukraine. It cost, sorry, who did I say?
Biden.
Putin, I mean, sorry, Putin is putting all this stuff there. Because it is costing him food and petrol or gasoline for all of his tanks and stuff. You know, it's a very expensive something if he's not going to get something for it. I don't know what it's going to be. But keep your eyes open around the planet. And I think Taiwan may be the one we have to watch. And in normal times, if we had like the military at the strength we had with President Trump, if we had that, then we might be able to survive handling a war on two fronts at the same time. And we did that in World War II with Japan and Germany, but we had the help of Great Britain, et cetera. And our military was a lot better than it is now in some respects. At least the troops in it, they weren't woke. They were normal people. But if you look at Taiwan and ask yourself, what is the most valuable target for China and Russia at the moment, particularly China? It's Taiwan, because that hurts the United States and other countries as well in the chip manufacturing and various other products Taiwan makes for the world electronically, that we just don't have the clean rooms and things set up to duplicate. So if we're using our army now that is a woke, quote-unquote, army, then if we have to divide those forces into two fronts, Taiwan and Ukraine, we're doomed. You know, at best of times, fighting a war on two fronts that big is a crapshoot. If you don't use the atom bomb like we did in World War II, you might not make it happen. So just bear that in mind. This is a massive chessboard at the moment. It's a very complex one. With the Middle East, Ukraine, Taiwan, you know, wow. Anyway, you know.
Interesting points you raise, especially with Taiwan. And the South China Sea, along with that, but in Japan, you know, there's something obviously. It's amazing. All of this is being planned out by the globalists in the basement bowels of some mansion, and they already, in my view, know the outcome, or at least the projected outcome. But that's just me. I'm pretty cynical about these things. But go ahead, sir.
Are you talking global conspiracy?
I wouldn't think of it. I wouldn't think of it because. No.
Yeah, to be blind, deaf, and dumb not to realize that something is moving things behind the scenes. Slide 52, right along that, across the world, voters across the world now are losing faith in their governments. And I've said this for years about how the attack on the entire population of the planet would go, how they would convince the people of Earth to abandon their governments in favor of a new world order run by a man of neutral, you know, political, religious, and ethnic background. Now, so when I see here that, and this was in 2002, that they showed at that time 78% of the respondents in Lebanon said their government was RS and they didn't trust it. But if you look at slide 53, new Pew studies in America, it shows how we are losing faith in our government and their ability to act fairly and accountably and that kind of stuff. If you lose faith in your government all over the world, if they do, it makes it very easy to condemn the governments and to offer a new world order, a new world government that is fair, in quotes. And that's why people will run to it, like they did with Hitler. I mean, Hitler didn't force the people of Germany to, let's have a Nazi party and, you know, all these restrictions. They were looking for someone to solve the problems in the parliament there, which, of course, Hitler was behind. He was causing the problem, but people didn't know that. And so they were saying, can we fix our government? You know, can we fix Germany and get food and get rid of this inflation? So Hitler then offered him a solution. Said, well, look, you know, I can do this if you want, you know, tongue in cheek. And so he got to stay in power and eventually moved his enemies in the parliament out of the way. And, you know, the Nazi Party was born and it then started to spread across Europe. You know, the German people in the beginning were saying, really great, we've got food, we've got order, you know, the economy is stable. Now, you transpose that to the world situation, to all the countries, not just America or Britain, it's all the countries, even in China. There are massive movements, you know, truckers, you know, saying we are against our governments. And it's happening in France and in Israel, and of course, maybe here, but in Australia, all over the planet. This is showing me that we're at the moment I've been expecting for, gosh, what, 50 years since I wrote The Cosmic Conspiracy. When the people have lost all faith in their leaderships, they will be most primed and ready to accept a new world order. And that will not have any tie, you know, at least openly, to any religion, any country, any political system, any race or class of income. It will be a neutral character. And the only way to do that, and that I could figure, and so did President Reagan, is to have a fake or real alien landing, you know, the little green men scenario, which will so threaten the entire world that the people will turn from their own governments and sign on to a new global government by this very intelligent being, which probably is going to be, to set up a new world order and to get rid of all of the corrupt political, you know, governments around the planet. And if we didn't know better, I would be standing in that line saying, wow, the Illuminati have been wiped out. I've said this many times. But why it's important to say it again today is because the obvious uprising of the people is telling me we're very close to the moment when they're going to spring this alien, you know, presence to help us. But it'll probably be after a short, brief, you know, nuclear exchange in the Middle East and maybe something here in the United States. I'm not sure. But this, we're approaching the moment that I've been expecting for that new world order to be formed and to be endorsed by the people, not the governments, by the people of all of the countries of the earth. It's just, it's not prophetic that I'm playing here. I know it's coming in the book of Revelation, but this is just looking at the situation as an analyst would, as a military or political analyst would. The ducks are all in a row. The economy of the world is about to collapse. And there are many warnings about that for this year. Gold and silver are dropping, you know, value like a rock. There are no havens to run to for your resources. And governments are acting against the people now. So you can see we can't endure this much longer. Something has to give. And there will probably be some civil riots, you know, more than just trucker convoys. In the process of going from where we are now to the cry worldwide for the new world order to save them. And people are going to run, race, rush to it. But if you cheer when the bankers and the obvious Illuminati, the ones that you see in the news and books and things, when they're taken down, then you might cheer, but understand that it's going to be replaced by a much more oppressive dictatorial world government. So don't be in that group. The Bible warns you about it in Revelation 12:13. Just do not be fooled by this great deception. UFOs, aliens, all that stuff. Don't be fooled. It's coming.
Yeah, that's absolutely for sure. And I believe too that we're witnessing biblical prophecy unfold. And I believe that there's already a delusion, a mass delusion. So I don't think it would take much. I'm just, you know, curious about the timing. And I suspect that we're within that event horizon window that of which you speak. Very good, sir.
Since 64, 65, when my dad and his brothers and their wives, you know, my mom and my aunts, when they started Timely Publications to start publishing books about the Illuminati, the secret government, the shadow government, all these things. They reached, you know, hundreds of thousands of people overnight. And from that moment forward, I've been looking at the plans for this global government. And the plans are multi-generational in execution. these plans are, they follow the communist method of overtaking countries, except this is going to be on a global scale. If you click on the text in slide 50, I'll read some of the declared goals and see if you recognize it. The communist takeover of America, 45 declared goals. Now, there's a list. It goes back to 1963. Now, that's 39 years when he did the article, 39 years later. I don't know what it is in real time here, but 50 years probably. And if you go down that article, he quotes from a guy that my dad knew, Cleon Skousen, the former FBI agent that wrote The Naked Communist, because we sold a lot of his books. Let's see. The things that we're looking for in the United States are the U.S. accepting the coexistence of, you know, other world powers as the only alternative to atomic war. In other words, they're going to take our nuclear weapons away and make them useless. U.S. willingness to capitulate in preferences to engaging in atomic war. Oh, don't hit me. And you saw where in the Obama registration, we had the first strike rule where they've got to hit us first before we can attack them with our bombs. These things, written about 1963 in Skousen's book, they are happening, they have happened, and they're continuing to happen. Let's see here. There are a lot of them. I'm not going to read them all. Okay. Provide American aid to all nations, regardless of communist domination. Duh. We've got it all over Africa and the Middle East. I mean, it's just, and to Iran? I mean, you know, we're just pouring money out the door to our enemies, but it's funding the communist regimes in these places. 7, grant recognition of Red China, Communist China, to the United Nations. Well, okay, fine, that's done. Let's see here. Okay. Only hope, number 12. Resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party. Do away with all loyalty oaths. And that applies to the Pledge of Allegiance, allegiance to the flag and the Republic for which it stands. Well, they're taking out chunks, not under God and this kind of stuff. And they're making it so neutral, so woke, that it's just useless. Now, it says here in 14, continue giving Russia access to the U.S. Patent Office. They didn't say at the time, but it's China that we had to worry about, because I know from working, with the guys in the patent office there on patent applications of my own, that the Chinese, and since the Clinton administration, have had a desk and a guy sitting there in the patent office ripping off all kinds of technological developments, technology from us in there in the patent office. So that's another one of these 45 points that has already happened and has continued to happen. In fact, it makes it so difficult that you, as an inventor of new technology, whatever, you can't find investors because you have to tell investors, well, look, I can't guarantee if we patent it that we'll be able to make it and make money out of it before the Chinese and the Russians do. So why is the investor going to put money into new products? So it kills our growth in that area. Gain control of all student newspapers. Well, they've not only done that, they've infiltrated the press and the book review assignments, editorial writing, policy making decisions in the mainstream fake news. It says here, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. Well, look, 3 of the major networks, are under the control of communist sympathizers. I forgot to do that, guys.
No worries.
No worries.
They're calling about your car warranty, of course, but extending your car warranty.
Let's see here. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Now, this was written, of course, before they even had sex change and all this LGBT XYZ that we've got floating around out there. That's been done in spades. Infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible, emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. I mean, that's why when I went after the Garden of Eden and Atlantis and things like that and the cause of the Great Flood, I wanted to validate the authenticity, the historical value of the Torah, the first five books of Pentateuch of the Old Testament, and hence the whole Bible, because of this effort to make it sound like total, you know, daydreams or mindless assumptions that there is a Garden of Eden and that there were giants on the earth. And, you know, I had to do something to prove it, which I have done in spades, in my opinion. And of course, that's why the mainstream networks don't want to even address what I've found and discovered and proved in Tanzania there in the Ngorongoro Crater, Garden of Eden.
Me, you've done more than anybody to verify, not that it needed it, but to verify the authenticity of the Bible. I really,
and the accuracy
yes,
of it.
Yes.
You know, yes. I haven't found the Ark, or Noah's Ark yet, or the Ark of the Covenant, which I don't have it on my show, I'm just saying, but the Ark of the Covenant, I am almost positive after, you know, looking and translating the copper scrolls, you know, from the Qumran. They were supposed to be treasure scrolls, but they were really showing where the Ark of the Covenant would be hidden, that God did not really allow the Ark of the Covenant to go to Ethiopia, to go somewhere else in the islands there. It would not leave. It had to be there on Jewish or Israeli soil, and it would have been down in the bottom of the Holy of Holies place in the Temple Mount, whether it was the one that we see now, that Temple Mount, or the one, you know, that's been destroyed in Solomon's Temple. I think it was the Temple Mount that we see now, because that's where, the second temple was built, and it was magnificent and all big and beautiful. But because the Jews originally were trained in Egypt to build pyramids and to build secret chambers and sand locks that you could break, and it would make whole sections of a pyramid inside sink down and hide other things with 20-ton stones. Because they have this, and because I have seen one of those stones that I'm talking about underneath the Temple Mount, when I was able to kind of get there, they blocked it off for a long time, but there's a 20-ton stone, you know, rectangular stone underneath, and it's vertical like this, the Temple Mount. And behind that, we're reasonably certain from, I've talked to rabbis and stuff over there, that the Ark of the Covenant and the Temple of the Tabernacle of the Wilderness is stored inside behind that stone under a lot of heavyweight stone on top that we think was dropped onto it when a sandlock was broken, when the Babylonians were coming in to steal the Ark of the Covenant. Now, there's other evidence on TV documentaries that the Vatican has the Ark of the Covenant hidden down four floors beneath the Vatican, and there's articles that say that the Babylonians took off a lot of the stuff, the Romans took off a lot of the stuff, and they did. They had some menorah and some oil things and some brass-looking vessels and stuff like that. You can see it in the engravings in Rome and in the Babylonian credits. But even though they say they got the Ark of the Covenant, if they got a box that looked like it, I am pretty sure that Solomon had ordered a duplicate built, and that duplicate, and maybe two duplicates, were what people in Ethiopia, you know, Oxum thought that Menelik the First, which was Solomon's son by, you know, Bathsheba and him. Sorry, not Bathsheba, but the Queen of Sheba. And that he went back to Israel and stole the Ark of the Covenant and brought it back to Oxum, and it's in that church they're being guarded. Now, he may have a box, and I doubt that it's the real one, though, because I don't think God would separate the land of his people he's created and supported while they're not in the land. I think he would have that communicating device there and ready to activate when the time comes. Anyway, I digress from the 45 points here that we're looking for. 35 on this report says, discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. Oh, the FBI has discredited. Infiltrate and gain control of big business. I guess that's by loans and other means. I mean, look at Elon Musk. You know, he's a gazillionaire now then, and Gates and all those people, you know, they are under the control of the people who buy their products and who fund them, the banks and stuff, which are under communist control now. let's see here. I'm just hitting the highlights of this. Discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Well, boy, that's in spades. Yeah, right. Let's see. Overthrow all colonial governments before native populations are ready for self-government. Okay, internationalize the Panama Canal. Well, we sold it to the Chinese, so that's pretty much lost control over that. Anyway, there are a few more of the things in there. Where the 45th one is. Don't need that. Okay, so that's enough on that. I wanted to emphasize that this has been planned since communism began, was to eventually control the whole world. And the deception, the alien landing, and various other things like that are occurring, or new developments in the last 50 years as technology advanced, their plans changed a little bit on how to implement this new world government and have the people support it. And did I talk last week with you about the meeting I had with the guy that had a briefcase chained to his hands, and there's some secret papers he gave me?
Yes, you did, but feel free to revisit that topic.
Well, that was in 1974, four years before I wrote The Cosmic Conspiracy. And part of the documentation I have in the book, on pages 49, 87 through 89, 91, deal with that meeting with the guy, and his name is Dr. Donald Drew. He's a mathematician of extraordinary ability, and he worked in the Asian Institute, Asian International Institute for something or other. It was a front for the CIA, and he was over there visiting it in the Middle East, and then he came to Perth and was briefly there, and that's when Vincent Tilsley, the playwright who wrote many TV series, including the Prisoner and stuff in England, introduced me to him in his home. And there he sat, this guy, Dr. Drew, with the briefcase chained to his hand and sitting down by his chair where I was sitting within, 1 foot of reaching in it, and it was open. And he pulled out a document, and let me just see here. In slide 49, I've put the documents, what I wrote about them, straight there. Let's just see what it is here. First one, page 49. Okay. Now here is the CIA report here. The thing that he was taking back to the United States and was very upset about. He didn't do what he said. He said, as I reported in a book, that he was so upset by using starvation to kill 150 million Indians, that he was going to go over there and live there himself, but he didn't. He came back to the States and lived here. But in the thing here, the new climatic era brings a threat of famine and starvation to many areas of the world, the CIA report says. Now, he contributed to that. The change of climate is cooling some significant agricultural areas and causing drought in others. It's doing that in spades now. If, for example, there's a northern hemisphere drop of 1 degree Celsius, it would mean that India will have a major drought every 4 years and can only support 3/4 of its present population. The world reserve would have to supply 30 to 50 million tons of grain each year to prevent the death. Now, in the report that Dr. Drew showed me, they said they were going to withhold grain loans. They weren't going to supply them. They were going to cause at least 150 million to die because of that. Slide 49, if you go to page 87 and through 89, as I say, you can pull these down. They're from my book. You can also buy the book, The Cosmic Conspiracy, and read all the rest of the stuff that goes with it. But, it's the report to the Club of Rome made in 1973, The Strategy for Survival, Regionalized and Adaptive Model of Global System. I already had the details of that in what Dr. Drew gave me, out of his briefcase here that's chained to his hand. It tells about him, and he worked in the management part of Asian Institute of Technology in Bangkok, Thailand. That's where he was just before he came over to Perth, have a short teaching thing or something, or advice to the University of West Australia. That's what they said, but I don't know what the truth of the matter was. If you read through there, it shows what his what the report there described is what is going to be needed to control the planet. And one of the things is reduce the population hugely and by natural attrition things, which means weather control, pandemic control, things like that. And so if you read that, those pages there, you'll get an idea of what, you know, he gave to me and what came after that in the following reports. Let me just see what's on page 91. Hmm. Okay. Yeah, I talk about there the failing establishments at page 91. And that is what I was talking about today. Now that the people of Earth are losing faith in their governments, the failing establishments. Another part of the hypothetical takeover bid that I wrote about of the planet was the destruction of the masses' faith in their established orders. And, you know, at that time, when I wrote the book in 78, Watergate and Brandt Spy and Lockheed scandal, Whitlam affair, Gandhi scandal, all that, those were current, but like nothing we're seeing now. They're much worse. And even though they're worse, the woke mentality across the world is kind of turning the other way and not paying attention to it. Hitler did not take Germany. The Germans gave it to him under conditions very similar to the political and economic conditions which today face the entire world. Written by me in 1978 from the data I got in that meeting. Now, isn't that kind of incredible?
You know, yeah, I mean, yes. And in light of all of this evidence that's verified or authenticated in time, I look at people and I wonder where their minds are at when they look at things like this and there's this disconnect. And of course we can talk about that all day long, but yes, absolutely incredible insight and advanced warning. So take heed.
I marvel at that book. I mean, every now and then I pick it up and read various sections of it, and it's like I'm a first-time reader of the book, thinking, oh, well, that's interesting. And you think, wow, that's pretty self-serving, isn't it? But, it was the good Lord led me to all those things and meetings with people and documents I got and meetings with Dr. Aurelio Pacheco of the Club of Rome. All these things were leading me to put that book out. And if you were going to write one book, if I were going to write one book in my life, that would have been the one, and it is. It's in at least 22, maybe 25 countries in English and French. And there's one crowd that wanted to do it in German, but I think an earthquake destroyed their office before they could finish. But it's all over the world. And it has influenced so many other authors about the New World Order and the Illuminati that I am astounded. I did not think that it would have that impact, but it does. So get a copy of that book if you haven't already. And get up to date on what's happening now and what's about to happen. It's prophetic, the book, I got to tell you. Anyway.
It is. Well worth it, by the way. Cosmic Conspiracy, standale.com. And put a little note in there saying, you know, Doug made me. So. All right.
All right. You know, a lot of the things that the New World Order is taking advantage of, whether they've contributed to weather warfare or not, with their various stuff they spray in the sky to change the amount of sunlight that reaches the ground, that kind of stuff. Whether it's due to that primarily or whether it's due to the sun, which I think is the primary villain to changing our climate, we are seeing in this allegedly supposed to be weakest sunspot cycle in, 50, 60 years, it is now becoming very active. And in the first couple of years of the cycle, it is had 50% more, it's doubled the amount of sunspot activity in hot regions than the cycle before, which was a low cycle. So it's not still standing out as the most, catastrophic thing or sunspot cycle, but it is putting out flares. It is changing some things on Earth that I find interesting. I read last week, I think, to you about the Inuit Indians saying that the sun wasn't rising, in the right place on the horizon.
Yeah.
And the Inuit are very well known for their, astronomical observations. Well, the other day, I took my iPhone, the new iPhone Pro, and I used the compass in it to get a bearing on the sun when it came up. And at first, the bearing was skew-whiffed to what Stellarium, the program, said it should be. And I realized that I had put a case around my iPhone to protect it, one of those rubbery cases. And it had a little circle on the back of it, which was a magnet to let you attach it to magnetic things that charge your iPhone wirelessly. So I realized this could be distorting my compass reading. So yeah, it was. I pulled that magnet off and then went back, and the sun was almost where it's supposed to be, but it was 3 degrees ahead of where it should be. And I ran this reading over several days, several times a day, and the sun is rising in the wrong place. It is, our attitude of the sun is changing. Our axis is changing, visibly so. And not only our, you know, visible axis, you know, but our magnetic axis. So
what does that mean, though, for the average person listening to this, if anything?
Well, have you noticed that gardens aren't growing the same way? Certain types of plants aren't even germinating. The bees are dying. The weather is anomalous in many places. It's hot where it should be cold. It's cold where it should be hot. Storms in areas, droughts in the United States, droughts, terrific, and in Asia as well, and China. These things are worse than ever before, and they're because the prevailing winds, you know, the jet stream in the north-south pole, and their subsequent winds, you know, in the mid-latitudes, these things are changing as the planet changes its tilt. Areas of the planet are getting more heat than normal, but because this tilt is happening so fast, it's creating huge thermal uplifts, you know, huge sudden heating in areas where it never occurred before, and water is evaporating, you know, rapidly, and then coming down in horrific storms, you know, lightning and tornadoes. Just look at the reports of how many serious weather disasters are happening, and the increase in earthquakes and volcanic activity around the planet because of stresses on the Earth's crust. These things all add together to the sun is doing it, and our axis is visibly tilting now. And I have a version of Stellarium, which I got in 2019, I think it was, or 16, 19. And I never changed or updated so that they couldn't alter the location of things in the heavens if someone dictated that. So I have an accurate thing of what they forecast in 2019, where the sun should be today. And if you run the experiment wherever you are, and if you've got a compass, well, you know, that you can see, get the sun and get your Stellarium thing and see where the sun is supposed to be at that exact time of day on that date, and see if your compass points to where it is or where it should be. Just an experiment for your own safety, you know, or for your own, you know, curiosity, I guess is a word. Oh, one thing I want to discuss too is on the slides I put up, like slide 37, the heliographic image of the sun, that is showing about 50% of the sun actions from where you're seeing in front of you to the left and to the right wrapped around. It should show all of the sun, but the other satellite that does that stopped working. If you go up to slide 43 and click on the text or the picture, you will see where these satellites are that are imaging the sun, and the one on the left of that picture there, if you can look at it, Eric, B is the one that's not sending. So we're only getting what the stereo A, which is 90 degrees ahead of where we are on Earth, is picturing. And it's a nice image to show you how they formed the stereo satellite systems to get this. And it's a sad thing that the bee didn't survive. You know, it stopped sending data. But it allows us to get kind of a peek on what is coming in the next, 7 days, coming around to the left of the heliographic image in slide 37. If you look at that, the left is about, you know, 7 days ahead of where it's going to be facing us at zero longitude.
And, anything of concern for you on this, on the most recent images?
As I said, things are happening that, you know, events from the sun, which affect our magnetic field. This concerns probably, Musk more than it does me. In slide 51, you see that, hold on, what's that?
As a reminder, it doesn't have to be at the height of the solar cycle, as pointed out by you last
week. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, these activities that I'm talking about, that I'm concerned about, don't have to actually happen at the height of the sunspot cycle. I mean, but what we're seeing now is happening way early and unexpectedly. And 9,600 years ago, they found that there was a solar flare CME type combination event, you know, that's 10,000 years ago, that happened in the wrong point in the solar cycle at that time, which wasn't at its peak or anywhere near it. So we can have a surprise hit no matter where we are in the solar sunspot cycle, no matter how many sunspots you've got there. But what I was going to talk about here is, you say, how does it bother us? Well, Elon Musk lost, a large percentage of his latest Starlink upload or satellites he put into orbit. If you click on the text, it takes you over to show that on February the 5th, kind of early the 5th, they were solar storms that were magnetic storms, and they hit the Starlink satellites as they were being put up into orbit. And, he's going to put up thousands of these things. And when you look at the situation, I think, let me just see here, how many did we lose there? We'll go up to that one. Come on. Yeah, okay. And if you click on that text there, let's see. He launched 49 of these satellites in one thingy, and it one satellite, and it breaks out into a bunch of other smaller satellites. He's going to do, thousands of these things before he's through. But he lost 40 of these in the magnetic storm because they were not really deployed far enough apart yet and were very susceptible to this magnetic storm that took their guidance offline and wiped them out. Let's see, if you look at slide 45 and click on the text there, slide 45, SpaceX gets 5 trillion bytes of engineering a day it downloads from these satellites. And you click on the picture, it shows Elon Musk, an image of him superimposed on the satellite, on the missile, taking the satellites, the 49 satellites, up into orbit in one hit. And when they deploy, it's like the second picture there. There's a single one of these units that are unfolding, showing its solar panels and how big it is. And the whole assembly is about 535 pounds of satellites divided by 49. You get the average weight. And if you look at the top picture in that slide 48, if you click on the picture, the top picture, you'll see pictures of those 40 unfortunate satellites, Starlink satellites, coming to Earth as meteorites soon. But that's it there. And if you scroll down to the middle of the page, that's what they look like once they've unfolded. And then down at the bottom, that's how they're all stacked together like sardines in the rocket and then shot up there and deployed and stretched out across the sky. So Elon Musk is feeling it. And so, crops are feeling it. Communications are feeling it. Ham radio operators are feeling it. Periodically as a coronal mass ejection or, a flare, a magnetic storm occurs from the sun. The sun is a major driver. There's no question in my mind about that. Major driver in affecting our climate. So be worried.
Yeah, it's not the hairspray cans.
What does that mean when Musk is about ready to put up another 30,000 satellites? They're saying space is getting crowded.
Yeah, Holly was reminding me. The actual thousands count of what Musk is going to put up is 30,000 Starlink satellites up there, and that does make the situation up there a bit crowded.
How do you do that? I know how you do it, but really, you got that much money that you're, and what's the ostensible purpose, if that's relevant, of these satellites?
You got to wonder what they can also supply. Are they got Do they have cameras on board or whatever? What?
The cover story is that they're going to get every single last person in the tiniest city and the tiniest little outback internet service.
Right. Now that figures. Holly was saying they're going to get, you know, every person on the planet, you know, the natives in far east, you know, Zambezi or wherever, everybody will be able to have satellite access. Why is that important? So you can have your number, your ID, so you can trade. Yeah. Sorry, I forgot that point. That's, yeah. True.
So that the lost village in deep Africa, instead of communicating like this, you know, I'm kidding. Don't send me emails. All right.
Racist.
Yeah. But you know, is that a noble cause or is that a kind of a new world order, global governance cause?
I think it's new world order. I mean, let's face it. Elon Musk is getting help from areas where people don't even realize. I mean, the money that's pouring into him, he's the fair haired boy that's, going to lead us into a technological new world order. The people running it, like this, you know, like Saudi Mohammed bin Salman and others who are running blockchain, things like that, they're using his technology. He's supplying the technology. It's all part of the globalist effort to or plan to take over the world and save us from ourselves by killing 95% of us.
Well, so. Yeah. I mean, heck, what better way to save you than to kill you? What better way to, and, you know, if you keep you safe, then beat the hell out of you with a baton. And, you know, yeah, I get it. Take away your money, take away your livelihood. Yeah, I get it. We got about 5 minutes left. It's okay. Again, it's all yours.
You know, on that thought, I mean, like the COVID, the pandemics and stuff, they are part of this test to get rid of people, you know, by natural attrition. I think much worse pandemics are coming that will be fatal no matter what you have. But it just reminded me of what I'd said before last week that, if someone comes to my door and says, you have to take the shot, I'm faced with, if I don't take the shot, I die or go to prison or whatever. If I do take it, I'm probably going to die from after effects of the shot. So, you know, at that point, you're saying, I'm going to do what I can to act positively and tell you, hit the road, Jack. You know, I'm not going to do it. But anyway, Novavax might be an answer to that. It's been released in a couple of places now, then, and they're doing tests to see what the after effects are like.
30 countries.
Yeah, 30 countries, Holly said it's in. And it would, using that would allow people that have not taken the injections of the mRNA type vaccines to get jobs and to go to work and that kind of stuff.
I don't know, brother. You know, I was mistaken. We have about two minutes left. I apologize.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, quickly. What are we looking at? Oh, Elon Musk.
Yeah. Yes.
Slide 38. That beautiful little monkey there, it's a muck, what do you call it? Macaque, yeah. They had, he took a bunch of them to test his brain implants. So he wanted to get the Elon Musk brain chip so that you could access the internet by thinking about it. And so fortunately, they've discontinued this, and his company that was doing it has been sued, but they were killing these monkeys. 15 of the 23 they used died from brain hemorrhages and disease, you know, infections and stuff, and in great pain. And I just can't see the value of killing these animals so that we can have faster internet access in our brain. It's another one of those Elon Musk you scratch your head about. I just, you know.
Despite the fact that that looked like my ex-mother-in-law several years ago. I'm not in favor of that.
Did he say that?
No, but you're exactly right. I mean, send cards and letters to Eric the Tech. What am I thinking? You know what, Stan? The information you provide is always top notch, and Holly too. God bless you both. I know Holly works like 24/7, and you do too. And we appreciate you beyond words, and I mean that sincerely. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. We love you, and we and Eric the Tech. We really are happy that you're putting out this show so regularly. It's a real task to do it every day. Must eat up a lot of time. Okay.
Yeah. God bless you, my friends. All right.
Yeah.
And love you, and see you next week. All right.
See you next.
All right, folks, that'll do it for me tonight. May God bless each and every one of you, keep you safe, protect you, bless you richly, and guide your steps. Good night.